Today is the 20th of May, I think, right? And we are around Pasuk Yud Tes. Vatelach Nishtayim. Okay, we finished the conversion effort or dialogue that they had in the way back. We talked about Rus not wanting to go past the Trum on Shabbos. That on Yom Tov, that convinced Naomi that was the last straw, so to speak. She was sincere. Everything is fine. They don't talk about conversion anymore. And now they arrive back in their place. They arrive back in Beis Lechem. So one of the first questions that we see is at the beginning of Pasuk Yud Tes. Vatelachna Shtehem. The two of them go together. Until now, we saw that Naomi was described as the one who was going or returning or traveling with her daughter-in-law or with her daughters-in-law. And now we have both of them going together. So that Rus has now been accepted into the group, she's accepted into the community, and they are traveling not as one entity with an aide or an accompanier, but now two together. But what strikes us originally is the grammatical issue here, and the grammarians in our midst will take note. Vatelachna is, of course, a feminine verb, but shtehem has a masculine ending. Right? It's not. It doesn't say shtehen, it says shtehem. Now why would that be? We don't have a Korean ksiv there. The final, the mem sofis at the end of shtehem is certainly a masculine ending, right? We don't see that elsewhere. Why does it say vatelachna shtehem? You could say, as some are known to say, that a lot of those endings and a lot of those grammatical forms are somewhat interchangeable, especially in the plural, two women and man and a woman. But here we have two women. The Alshe HaKadosh says specifically, he gives an answer for it. He says that, as we mentioned before, this was a difficult and dangerous journey. They were traveling alone. They were traveling barefoot. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying later on, you have in the fourth part, you have Asher Banu Shitehem, which is again a masculine. What you would expect the feminine is Shitehen is a standard biblical Hebrew.
Okay, but if you want to look at the end of the same pasuk, Vatehom Kolir Alehen. Alehen, with a nun. Al-Sheikh Kodesh says, because this was such a dangerous journey, they were susceptible to being attacked, beaten up, robbed, what have you, they disguised themselves and dressed as men. So when they arrived in the city, they looked like men. It was nonetheless women, so they had to say Vatelachta, they were women, but the Shtehem would refer to them looking like men. Now, should it be Shtehem or Shnehem already is yet another question, but just an interesting side. Ad Bo'ana Beis Lechem, until they arrived at Beis Lechem. So they came to Beis Lechem. At that point, they took off their male clothes or took off their disguises and looked like women. Vayihi Kivo'ana Beis Lechem. And when they came into town, Vatehom Kol Yir Alehem. The whole town everywhere was moving around. There was a big excitement. Right? There was excitement in the town. And we have a tavona twice, a kivona rather, twice. What does it mean twice? Adbona b'lechem, vayhi kivona b'lechem. We say that the entrance of tzaddikim into a town, just like the yitzia osa roshem, so to the entrance of tzaddikim into the town makes a roshem. Here, there was a double roshem. Because at first, oh, Naomi's back. And everyone's excited. And then when they look a little closer, there's another Roshem that's made. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The second Roshem that's made on all the people when they see what's become of Naomi, what's become, well, who she's with, what's become the rest of her family. Vatelach nishtem ad bo'ana beis lechem, vayihi kivona beis lechem, vateyam kol yir aleihem, vatomarna, hazos Naomi? Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? At Lashon Tmiya, they're amazed. Naomi was the princess, not in the royal sense, but the way she conducted herself. She was regal. she had special garments and she had horses and carriages and everything fine. And now she returns in dusty rags, barefoot, with her non-Jewish daughter-in-law, and that's it? So the first question is, they immediately called her, look, Naomi's back, this is Naomi. What's her response to them? Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Of all things, don't call me Naomi. The Malbe wants to say that the reason she didn't want to be called Naomi was that it highlighted quickly the difference between what she was then and what she was or what she is now. Not even the play on words, whether Naomi means pleasant or not pleasant. The Malbim brings the following example. He says, Hine ish shehoyelo osher godo, she'ein kamo ka'ashro shel Achashverosh. Let's say somebody was as wealthy as Achashverosh. V'ovad kol oshrei, and he lost everything. V'lo nishar b'yado rak elef zehuvim, and he was left with only 1,000 gold coins. V'nemar olav shnizdaldel min chosa v'nasa oni. About him, it would said he has become poor. Now, I'm not a trader in the gold coins, but the point here is that 1,000 gold coins is rich, is a lot of money. But lo nucho lo marzos, rakim naskir erech oshra kaidem. It only looks poor when you reference what he had before. If someone's worth $100 million, like using our terms, some really wealthy person, $100 million, and now is only worth 5. In his eyes, and in the eyes of the people who are in that league, he's poor. To us, so what are you crazy? Worth $5 million? To us, it's a fortune of money. So he says, if you reference the person in their prior status, and then you compare them to what they are now, they look terrible and they look poor. Where on the other hand, he said, if a person just walked into town and had 1,000 zehuvim, 1,000 golden coins, yikra b'shem osher, he would be called rich. Aval osher agadol hazeh, ovad kol rechusho ad shelo nishar b'yadoi, af pruta achas, upas lechem, ashki dravenei, oz nucha goz b'shem oni. However, if the first guy, who you never mentioned his name, you never said anything about him, but all he had left was a pruta, the lowest, the equivalent of a penny, the lowest coin of the denomination, and a half a cracker and a moldy piece of bread. He's poor no matter what he had at the beginning, right? He, objectively, he's poor. He's nothing. So she's saying, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me. I don't want to be compared to what was before. I don't want to be in that situation. So that's the excitement that's generated. Now, we learned last time that part of the excitement at all was that it was the day of the funeral of Boaz's wife, and it was also the wedding of 30 of the daughters of Boaz. It's the Derech Eretz that a person doesn't remarry until he marries off his unmarried children. So Chazal tell us that the day in which Boaz's wife left, that is the first wife, or the previous wife, Nichnasa, the new wife, enters. What about that funeral? First of all, we'll leave out the question, which we can debate all day, how is it that he's having a wedding and a funeral on the same day? Second, how did he know? Right. The only reason that he is in a hurry to marry off his daughters is because, since he's a widower, he needs to marry them off so he can remarry. How long in advance did he plan those weddings? So there's a lot of interesting questions. But let's look at the question of the death of Mrs. Boaz. We are taught that in the when the person dies, there's a lot of things in terms of tshuva that we should think about. And this ties into the arrival of Naomi in the city. The arrival of Naomi in the city on one level was a mida keneged mida that took on two different dimensions. In the first dimension, when Naomi left the town, what was happening? All the people were crying for food. Mi chayenu be'ez harov. Who's going to make us, who's going to give us food? Who's going to help us? Who's going to sustain us during this terrible time? And what was the response of Naomi and Elimelech and their family? They ran away. They turned their back on people. They left with food. The people had none. Chavetz Chaim says that the mida keneged mida here is when the tables are now turned. When she returns to the town, she has no food, but for them, the famine has ended. So mida keneged mida. She left. She left them hungry. And she was plenty. Anim le'ahalachti, it says. I left, I was full. Whether full means full of food, full of children. Some say that anim le'ahalachti, Rashi says that she was pregnant. Whatever, she went in a great way. And she comes back starved. On the other hand, when she left, the people were starved. And now when she returns, they're okay. They're food. They're living again. However, the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his mercy, doesn't let the punishment go on forever either. Because Rus comes back with Naomi, and on that same day, Mrs. Boaz died, setting up a circumstance where now food will be available to Naomi. She will not be impoverished and hungry any longer. So that takes care of one of her punishments, that is the lack of food. And what was the second punishment? She lost her husband and her children. The wedding of Rus and Boaz generates the birth of who? Oved, who is the Gilgul of Mahlon. Hence the happy declaration when Oved is born. What do they all say? Yulad Bain Lenaomi. Naomi has had a child. It's not even her biological grandchild, but Yulad Bain Lenaomi, the Gilgul of Mahlon. So Chofetz Chaim tells us even in the bad there's a good, and in the good there's a bad. So now, what about this issue of tshuva on the day of the funeral of Mrs. Boaz? It says, Achayiten Alibo, the living people have to take to mind and prioritize. And they do that tshuva often at the time of a funeral. Now, we're all in that same position. Someone dies and you begin to think, wow, there was a great person. Look what happened. And am I next? You know, who's next? And people get married. Everyone gets married, in the exception of a car crash or a plane crash. Everyone pretty much understands that one spouse is going to die before the other. The way of the world, and most people, except again in unusual circumstances, understand as they grow, they are someone's child, and as they grow, it's generally understood that a parent dies before a child. Unfortunately, we've heard of sad cases where it's the other way around, but usually that's the way it happens. But every time that happens, it kind of puts you a little bit closer to the front of the line. And that's the time when we need to think about what's Iker and what's Tofel. And that's what happened the day of Mrs. Boaz's funeral. What's Iker and what's Tofel? Sure, they were all thinking, look at Naomi, she used to wear wonderful dresses, and she used to wear great shoes, and now she's barefoot. And she had all the riches in the world, and now she's poor. And she had lavish meals at her home with many servants, and now does she have a little whatever little crusts that she can get, or a little grain that her daughter-in-law can glean for her, and that's it. But what really matters? What's important? So began to think about the things that are important. Maybe taking care of the poor when she had the opportunity. Maybe that was important. Maybe not leaving Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the punishment was for that. It was something that she should have thought about. So the living Chayiten and Libay, living at this time, really have to think about what happens. Okay, so the arrival of Naomi continues, and she says, "Don't call me Naomi." Now, he said one of the reasons she doesn't want to be called Naomi is, as in the case that the Malbim brings, she doesn't want to be compared to who and what she was before, because that's what brings on this kind of situation. But there's another explanation which is quite interesting. In the Yalkut Shimoni earlier on, we learned that Omer Prachya Boisa Shah Yaakarish Baruch Donas Oilam, who based in Shalmaila Omdim. God was judging this family, the Elimelech family, before they left, or at the time they left, the Elimelech family. And Hashem referred to them to the case that says Vayilech Ish. It says God was master, God hid the identity. He just said Vayilech Ish. Immediately, Omda Midas Adin V'Hichrizu Shenemar V'Shemo Yishel Elimelech. It's Elimelech. Don't try to hide him. Miyad Nigzar Alav V'Albonav Maksiv Basrei V'Yomas Elimelech. He was announced who he was in the decree in the Bezdan Shalmaila whether he was killed. Midas Adin said whose names? Elimelech, Machlon, V'Chilion. Naomi is not ever given any independent existence. She's referred to as V'Shem Ishto Naomi. His wife's name was Naomi. She's not a central character. And because she's not a central character and not mentioned as part of the whole plot as to who's going to do what, where, and when, she is spared. She is spared. And no particular Avera is assigned to her. At worst, she's guilty by association. She doesn't want her name said. Don't call me Naomi. Because she doesn't want to be in the situation where the din is going to come to her again. That something's going to happen to her again. Remember, we spoke last time about having things you say and things associated with you coming back to you, like Al Tiftach Pe L'Satan. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ruth says, Ko Yaseh Hashem Li V'Cho Yosif, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, God's going to continue to do bad to me. And we said in the Gemara in Makkah says, the klal of a chacham comes true even if you make it conditional. And indeed, that's what happened to her. What had happened to her before? Her husband died. What's going to happen to her now when she marries Boaz? Her husband dies, and he dies the night of the wedding. Fortunately, she has a child and she's impregnated, but she dies the night of the wedding. He dies the night of the wedding. So these ideas about how the judgment is coming on all of them is particularly harsh here. So she doesn't want her name mentioned. What's really an incredible, kind of an ironic twist, we find also on this question of the punishment of Naomi, and this comes from the Gemara. It said that Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion were the Gedolei Ador. They supported everybody. Why were they punished then? Because they fled to Chutz Laretz. What about Naomi? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amru Chazisem Naomi, she yotz meretz Chutz Laretz, Mal Salai. What happened to her? She wasn't killed. And she was just, you know, cut down. She lost her children, she lost her husband, she lost her wealth, whatever she had. And when she comes back to Beis Lechem, she comes back barefoot, torn clothes, looking poor. All she has is this one daughter-in-law left. Look at this terrible tragedy. Look what happened to these people. But you know what happened to the people who stayed? What happened to the people in Beis Lechem Yehuda who stayed when he fled? The Sefta says that this all happened to them. Why? She yotza l'chutz l'aretz. Meis hu uvan of barav. V'hoi you call Yisrael kayyomi malad masam. Shenemar v'tim kol yirleo mil mu'amid. Shekol ha'ir kayemes. Umeis hu uvan of uvanevan. The only people who died from this famine were Elimelech, Machlon, V'chilion. They died, and there was indirect result of famine. They were punished, but they're the only ones who died. Harei shemishah she'ozav Elimelech of one of his Eretz Yisrael. From the moment that Machlon, V'chilion, and Elimelech left their place, Mach misharav ad oso yom lo meis afilu echad me'ayir. Nobody died from that famine. Nobody. That the only ones who died from the famine were the ones who ran away to keep from helping. It's wow, look how significant the punishment is. They lived in a place where there was food. There was no famine in Moab. They lived in a place where there was food and they died. We who stayed here died. People here, didn't die. We who stayed here, we didn't die. We didn't die. Which tells us what? How great the punishment is for Azivas Ha'aretz and turning our back on the poor. It's an incredible fact that the people who lived through the famine lived through it. Okay, so she says, don't call me Naomi. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be referred to. I don't want you to know my prior status. I don't want any of that. Krenoli Mara. What does Mara mean?
Bitter.
Bitter. How do you spell Mara, though? Here's with Aleph, but how would you normally spell it?
With Hey.
Because I'll tell us that there are three places in Tanakh. One is Zara, one is Chema, and one is this, in which a word that should have ended with a Hey is spelled with an Aleph for emphasis. She's not bitter. She's real bitter. She's very bitter. She's extensively bitter. So that's why we have an Aleph there. Ki hemer shakai limod. Because God has made me bitter. Or has done bitter things to me. Or what else could hemar mean? Could change my status around and put me into ha-hemir. Has put me into... I saw one place that said Haimir Goyalukim. Haimir Goyalukim. But Hamar here really means bitter. I saw one place that someone wrote it like that to say, he changed me around. Ani Malaya Halachti. I left town. I was Malaya. I had beautiful clothes. It says I even had beautiful shoes. I had everything. I was pregnant. I had two sons. I had a wonderful husband. And what happens? Vereikom Heshivani Hashem. And God brings you back empty. I have no more children. I have no more husband. I have no clothes. I have nothing. Lama sikreno li Naomi. Why are you calling me Naomi? Vashem onavi v'shakai herali. God has dealt with me in both names and Kel Shakai has dealt with me. We say a bracha every morning of putting on Shasali Tzarki. What bracha did that go along with?
Shoes.
Putting on shoes. She was not able to make that bracha. She didn't have shoes and nothing. So the Shakai, God had put her into a situation where none of her needs were being taken care of. Why is that bracha, by the way, connected to shoes? Well, there's two explanations given. Sometimes Shasali Kotzarki means take care of my needs, all the things I need. It also may refer to taking care of one's bodily needs. And sometimes one needs shoes to get to the place where one's bodily needs have to be taken care of. But in either event, she was unable to take care of any of her needs. She was shoeless, she was at the lowest level. Vatashav Nami Virus Hamoavia Kalasa Ima Hashava Miste Moav. Okay, we had this question once before. It says Naomi and Ruth, still referred to as a Moabiah. If you're wondering about whether she was Jewish yet, she's still referred to as a Moabitess. But in any case, Kalasa, her daughter-in-law, that they are returning from Stay Moab. Is Ruth returning? You can only return to some place that you had been before. So had she ever been there before? Ostensibly not, although the Shiras Levi did suggest, I forget based on what, but suggested that when they died,
when the sons died,
she quick went to Beis Lechem Yehuda, met Boaz, get some tachrichim, and then back. So on that level, she is returning. On the other hand, there's a kind of a spiritual return. What does Avraham say to Eliezer when he wants to find a wife for Yitzchak? Make a shvua pentoshiv that you should not return my son to that place, Aram Naraim, or wherever he was going, Padan, or wherever he was going to Relova. Was Yitzchak ever there?
No.
No. Yitzchak never left. Never left Israel. He was certainly never there. So what's that? Don't return my son to that place. Don't return my son to that place. Why? How can he say that? He's never there. Right? It's like the guy who says, I'm traveling to Kathmandu, or someplace, to find myself. Well, why would you look for yourself in a place you've never been? If you lost your watch, and you always had your watch in Philadelphia, would you go to Los Angeles to look for it? So he said, how are we saying that? Why you return my son, or why she's returning? Because there's a connection, right? There is a connection between Yitzchak and that place. It was an ancestral home. Albeit he didn't live there, it was an ancestral home. Rus has now said, I'm a part of the Jewish people in general. And specifically, I'm a part of this family. Family may only be Naomi left, but I'm a part of this family. So this is where we are from. Why does a convert able to say, it's not his father's, right? Or Asher Kedishon, his ancestors were not made holy with those mitzvahs. Because he's now a part. Amech Ami, she's a part of the group, she's part of the family. And as such, she can say, aside from the other explanation he gave about going there when they died to get Tachrichim, she is returning because she's returning to the ancestral home, to the family home, of that which she has now voluntarily brought herself to. Hashava Mistemov, Vehema, Bao Beis Lechem, and they have come to Beis Lechem, they have come to this time, Bischilas Ksir Soirim. It is the beginning of the barley harvest. Now the beginning of the barley harvest obviously tells us a lot because what's going to happen, we're going to pick up on tomorrow about the beginning of the harvest and how to go to the threshing floors and all that. We know that the harvest season has now begun. So the poor people, they come back with nothing, but fortunately for them, they arrived at a time when food will